important mitzvah, namely the mitzvah of Chum Shabbos. After the Shira, in Chamishi, in today's Seder, it says that Bnei Yisrael, Vayisu Bnei Eilim, Vayavoyu Chaladaz Bnei Yisrael, and Ritbar Sin, and then they were hungry, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Lon and Slav, and they were told that on Shabbos, the man would not come down on Shabbos, but on Shabbos, so the Gemara at the end of the first parak in Erev, at the very end of the first parak in Erev, understands this to mean, no one should go chutz l'tum. However, this is a famous dispute in the Tanoim, whether Chum Shabbos is Daraisa or the Rabbana. Among the Tanoim, there seem to be three shittas with a riff in the end of the first parak in Erev, and quotes from the Bavli, so you would never be able to figure this out, that's from the Yerushalmi. The riff quotes this in the Rambam. Quoted it from the Rif, quoted it from the Talmud Yerushalmi. But there are three opinions in Tanaim. One opinion is that Rabbi Akiva's view that Chum Shabbos is Darais, even Alpai Mama. That's one mil. Another opinion, the more popular opinion, is that Chum Shabbos is Lav Darais, but that's only Chum for Alpai Mama, one mil. But Yudbeis mil, that would be Gimel Parsois, four Parsois, four mil in a Parsa. So Yud Beis Mil would be Tchum Shabbos Deraisa. That's how the Rif and the Rambam pass, and the Mechaber pass is like that. Tchum Shabbos is Deraisa by Yud Beis Mil. And then the third opinion is that Chum is Lav Deraisa Lagamri. There's no din of Chum Deraisa at all, and that's how the Ramor pass is. Ramor pass is that all of Chum is Lav Deraisa. The Maynach Kimilo is Deraisa Deraisa. So the Mechaber and the Ramor have a machlok. What do you do in the case of Sofik? And the Gemara remained within the Bible of Shito. So if you hold that Chum is only the Rabbanon, so everything is going to be the Kuban. But if you hold that the Kumin is Deraisa, then you have to say something Deraisa. The Mechaber and Rambam have this dispute regarding Kumin Lamalim Yasaret Bo. Rambam has a Sofi, this person is walking on stilts. And he goes, Chutz L'Kum Lamalim Yasaret Bo. Would he be in violation of Kum Shabbos or not? So the Gemara remains with him by the way, Shita, in the middle of the Erev, and remains. The Mechaber passes that on Kumin, which is only the Rabbana, namely, Alpai Mama, it would be Lakula, but on the Chum Shabbos that's Deraisa, namely the Yud Beis Milim, you would have to go Lachumin, because that's the state of Deraisa Lachumin. The Ramah Paschim, but all Chumin is Rabbanan, and the Makum Sofek, we can make even on Chumin of Yud Beis Milim.
Why is all of you
talking, why would that be Mokar? Not a bit of Tzal, right? Right, nothing to do with Tzal, no. The Gemara has the Shaila, but it gets to other issues also. The Gemara then that's still in the middle of there. The Shaila is whether how much of the Avir above the ground is mitzarek to the ground. Maybe only the first Yudfachim, just like in Hilchos Shabbos. The Rishus HaRabim or the Kamalos is only Teifes, Adas HaRafachim. Rishus HaYochad is Oil Adar Akia because it's made up by the Mechitzis. And the Mechitzis are Oil Adar Akia. That's how the Rishus HaYochad is Oil Adar Akia. Considered as if the mechitzas go all the way up. If you can have a case where you have a Rishus HaYochid where the mechitzas are not a Lada Rakia, then the Rishus HaYochid would also not be a Lada Rakia. And the Rishus HaRabim in the Kabbalah said, let me take this, Agar Sarah Tochim. So that's the Gemara had as far as to say, a Sophic, maybe only the lower 10 Tochim immediately above the ground level on the star to the ground. And whenever you're above that, there's no being a Pumin. Pumin is basically on the earth. If the guy is
walking on the earth, not traveling a distance.
Right. Traveling a distance on the earth. Tyson points out if the person is above the clouds and is traveling to the Kum, that for sure is no issue. Above the clouds, certainly not mitzarek to the ground. And within 10 tefachim, certainly is mitzarek to the ground. The whole stuff is memorable, but about in between the clouds and the 10 tefachim. Is that mitzarek to the ground or not?
Do you have to make sure this whole body is along the earth, or?
I think the Gemara assumes that all of the body has to be around here. The Gemara assumes that any part of the body is not going to be within the English style to be around here. So. But when a person normally walks, the part of his body is a minor in here. Some of the majority of his body is a minor in here. A poor person is a lower road of his body is a minor in here.
What's the reason that that method of the ground?
That's the Ika Tchumen. The Ika Tchumen is going to put the Tchumen on the ground, measure Tchumen on the earth. That was the Marashaila. Could consider that a mokum. Is that muhtar to the ground? But all of Kuman has to have to do with the ground. So this is a question. If all that Kuman is only the Rabbanon, where the Ramot Tasman, if all of Kuman is only the Rabbanon, so then you're going to be missing one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. And the Minyan Mitzvahs, they have printed in the Kroos and Dolos in the Sefer Achina. Sefer Achina has it over here in this week's schedule. One mitzvah in Parshat Shalach, the mitzvah is Kuman. So if you all that Kuman is love their eyes, you only believe in 612 mitzvahs. This Talmud, like Tosfos says in the Sefer, you have to add on some other mitzvah that the Rambam with have deleted, so the Bawi Tosfos will have to add on a different mitzvah. Tosfos in the beginning of Sefer is that. Gimla Medalef, the Gemara quotes there, a triple machloik is between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. We go on in the Pasuk of Rabbi Yelma and Tavoidu, with the Shus, Bachoivo, regarding Yikine is Ishtar, whether that's Rishus HaKhaiva, and regarding Lo Yitama, that the Kohen is permitted to Yitama. So the Zankarim, is that a Rishus he's permitted to, or that's a Khaiva he's obligated to? The Tosfos is bothered with the Kasha, the Gemara says in the end of Marcus that there are Taryag Mitzvahs, Nevelon, Vashem Sinai. So if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, that all three of these are Rishus, that Lo Yitama is only Rishus, Relman Tavod is only Rishus. Kine Sishka is also only the shoes, but then you're going to be missing from the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Taisa said, this Tamar Rabbi Shmuel will add on another three mitzvahs, but Rabbi Kiva for some reason or another doesn't count. Is Tamar the same over here? We'll have to say that according to the Ramoa, who passed things like the Bali Ataisa, that Kuman is Lav Deraisa, the Gambi Lav Deraisa, so the Tamar will hold a different counting in the Minyan Mitzvahs. So many different opinions. I'm not so sure that all Taryag Mitzvahs, the Ramban writes in the beginning of his comments, the Ramban in the beginning of the Hasodas on the Sefer Mitzvahs, he writes that such a strange thing that so many Gaonim and Rishonim wrote Sforim to enumerate to try to figure out which are the Taryag Mitzvahs. He says, who says that everybody agrees with that member of Reb Simloy in the end of the Gemara Markets? One member that says that the Taryag Mitzvahs. Maybe there are other Ramaroyim who disagree. Is it such a double posture that it's Muskam Lachaladeh? Perhaps the Rav is a disagree. He writes something to the effect that Hakol Tov the Mazel. So this member of Reb Simloy had such mazel that so much literature has been written on the assumption that Reb Simloy's member is it, that there are really Taryag Mitzvahs. Maybe there are more, maybe there are less. We don't know. In the Gemara, the end of Marcus, here, the last daf of Marcus. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it appears in a few places. Yeah, it appears in a few places. Some of the Medrash that Rashi quotes is later. Some of that's a later Medrash. Later than the Gemara. But just because this appears in so many places doesn't necessarily mean that it's Muskam Chalamed. That's what the Ramban is more. It's an interesting thing that everybody assumed that they're Italian. There's an interesting question that the Morgan Avraham discusses in Orach Chaim, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Dinim of Kum Shabbos V'Yontif. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Mishnah in the end of Beit Zot that Habeimu V'Hakeilim Kiragli Habayim, that not only do Dinim of Kum Shabbos that a person, Ayet Yishman Kom, a person is not permitted to go Chutz L'Mkomo, my property may not go Chutz L'Mkomi either, wherever I am Koyna Shvisa, wherever I happen to be Shabbos, so not only do I have that chum, my property also has that chum, my begotten, my svarim, my food. So what happens if, let's say, someone is visiting me on Yom Tov? On Yom Tov, you're permitted to carry things in the Tzarech HaMadshal and Tzarech HaYomtzas. So somebody wants to borrow a sefer of mine, and he's going to carry it home on Yom Tov. To carry it on Yom Tov is Mutar Tzarech HaYomtzas. But the question is, he's going to take it Chutz L'Tchumi. He's going to take it into his tchum. Two different people don't necessarily have to have the same tchum in Yom Tov. I have one tchum because I live over here. He has a different tchum. You don't necessarily have to have the same tchum. So the Mishnah says that he's not permitted to take, there's a series of Mishnahis in the end of Beit Zot, that he's not permitted to take my property Chutz L'Tchumi on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, he can't carry it anyway, so there's nothing to discuss. On Yom Tov, even though he's permitted to carry, he's not allowed to take my property Chutz L'Tchumi. The question is that also their Isa? According to the Tanoim and the Rishonim, hold that Chum Shabbos is their Isa. Chum Yom Tov is their Isa. So according to those who hold that Chum is their Isa, the Pasuk only says, Al Yetzi Ishman Komo. a person, no person should go chutz l'mekomo. What about taking Abayim of the Hakeim and Kirak the Abayim? That's also a Nisa Deraisis. So the Mogen Avram quotes from Achotis Achorim about that. He quotes a Chilis Ma'al Bach after he says, one way, Ma'al Shaka says another way, the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Mogen Avram. And then the Mishnah Brura, the Mechaschina Chosan, today said, really both quote, that if you look in the middle of Erevin, it's a Machlekes Rashi in the Ritvom Afurish. It's a Machlekes Rashi in the Ritvom Afurish, whether on the assumption that Kumin is deraisa, what about Kumin for Habhem Vahakelim, Kirak Be'Avan? Is that also an issue deraisa? Then the Mishnah Brura raises another interesting issue, which the Mechaschina also touches on. If one should assume that Kumin is deraisa, would it help to make an error that Kumin in a Torah? We know that Erev Tafshilim is only the Rabban. That's the Feirush in the Sugi himself and the Daphne involved. The Gemara says that in a Torah it's clear that you're permitted to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, and it's only the whole meat there. Tafshilim is Midi Rabban, it's not in a Torah. That's the Gemara seems to go push. What about Erev Kumin? That if you're not allowed to go cook for Kumin, but if you leave the box of matzahs there, but that's considered your makom and it can go further. Is this trick only effective if one assumes that the whole din of kumin is only the rabbanon? Or does it work even if it's deraisa? It's deraisa. Where is there a makom in the chumash? There's no makom in the chumash for that. So the pashtus, the tur, writes in Orach Chaim, and he quotes the halachas of kumin. So he writes that since the whole institution of kumin shabbos yom is only the rabbanon, so the pichon is a makom, hey mama, hey mama. They instituted that you can make an Erev Kumin in order to allow yourself to go further. So the mashmois of the simple reading of the Torah is the way we would have all said. The simple pshat. If the whole institution of Erev Kumin is only Rabban, that if Kum Shabbos would be deraisa, the whole thing wouldn't work. It wouldn't help to put a box of nuns. So that's what the Achronim HaMasig, that it says the favors, that Ramban has in the Chiddush Ramban on Erevin, and the Achid Zion has a right in the Gemara in the middle of Erevin. That is not so. There's a Beferish in Gemara, there's Mashmah, that even though Rav Meir, the Tana, thinks that Kum Shabbos and Kum Yantar is their Isa, nonetheless, if you make an Erev at Kum, you can go right there. But the Bax Namaz is, how can it be? Torah Shabbat Peh? Kach Kiklu Aydei Torah Shabbat Peh? But there's an institution of Erev at Kum. Very surprising, dude. There's a big dispute in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Aram, what about Kum and on Yom Kippur? What about Kum and on Yom Kippur? On the assumption, like the Rambam holds, the Rambam and the Rif, based on Yerushalmi and the Rechaber, that the Yud-based Mil is their Isa. Alpaimam is only the Rabbonim, but the Gimel Parsois, Yud-based Mil is their Isa. So, is this Din of Chumin only in the Torah on Shabbos? That's what's written in the Chumash in today's second Parshat Tishalach. But the Rabbin writes like that. And in our mitzvah, he writes that Chumin on Shabbos is their Isa. So it doesn't apply to Yom Tov. It doesn't apply to Yom Kippur, that's only the Rabbanon. The Kumin applies to Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur is only the Rabbanon. But Daniel Hababli from Baghdad was a Dayan, sent a series of kashas to Rabbein Avram ben Arambam by mail to Egypt. And the Minyan HaMitzvahs la Rambam. So this is one of the things that he picked on the Rambam. How did the Rambam make a split between Shabbos and Yom Kippur? All the Dinim are exactly the same. So whatever Dinim applied to Shabbos should certainly apply to Yom Kippur. So shouldn't the Rambam have written also explicitly that Tchumen on Yom Kippur is their eyes? You guys only Tchumen on Shabbos is their eyes. So Rabbi Avram ben Rambam defends his father's position. He says, no, his father held that only Tchumen on Shabbos is their eyes. And every other Tchumen is only the Rabbanon including Yom Kippur. Rabbi Daniel held not so that Yom Kippur should be their eyes, his mama showed for Shabbos. But Yom Kippur, his master should only be the Rabbanon. And that's a big dispute later. The Rashi and Taisus write in Furish in a few places that if you hold that Kumin is their Isa, it would be their Isa not only on Shabbos, it would be their Isa on Yom Tov as well. And the Shabbos Aryeh, the Sefer Turi Evin, on Chagigah, and on Megillah, I think it's in a few places, he has this Hasog. How do they get that idea that Kumin should be their Isa on Yom Tov? He says, L'chol HaYaseh maximum Kumin can only be their Isa on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Pasuk is only on Shabbos. You say that HaYetzi Yishman Koma by Yom HaShvi'i should apply to Yom Tov as well. But that's a machlok. So a group of Rishonim hold not so. Rashi and Tosfos. Group of Rishonim. Rashi and Tosfos, that's like Gemara. Rashi and Tosfos is on the side of the Gemara. They learn Parshat Shachar. If one holds that Kumin is their Isa, it applies to Yom Tov as well. All the Dinim of Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov. Why should the Rambam hold not so? Why should the Rambam and Rabbi Amiel Ababli, why do they assume such a little Parshat? That even if one should assume that Kumin is their Isa, it would only be on Shabbos, the maximum Yom Kippur, and Yom Tov would only be their Rabbam. So the Svar of the Pashtus, Lachalik, is not so difficult to understand. One could say that the only things that are carried over from Shabbos to Yom Tov are the Yisurim Malachas. But Kumran is not a Nisim Alofi. Even if you hold that Kumran is the Raisa, there's no Kores, there's no Nisim. Maximum is going to be his Malkus. The Gemara has a whole discussion. The end of the first Perek in Erev, that's how it came in. The Gemara has a Machlokes Amoraim. According to the view that Kumran is the Raisa, would there be Malkus to one of those Kutz with Kumana? But there's no Nisim, there's no Kores. You see, it's not called the Malofi. So one could argue the point to say the only thing to carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov are the Yisuri Malacha. There's even one opinion in Tesis in the first Perek in Dochim, which the Minchas Chinuch and the Shagasari before him, the Minchas Chinuch after him, make a big fuss about. If you hold a Havor Lalav Yotzos, when the Lama Tes of his Malacha is, so there's one opinion in Tanoim that Havor was Barit Chomash Rezet and doesn't have a Chorus and doesn't have Nisa. It only has a Lav. It's weaker than the others. So if you hold Havor Lalav Yotzos, it's maybe it shouldn't be Noig on Yom Tov. Maybe Havara should be Hetter Gomer on Yom Tov and Atur. Why? Because the only things, perhaps one can argue the point and say, the only things that are carried over from Shabbos to Yom Tov are the Yisuri Malacha. It says on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do Kamban Zavar, you're not Yosel Lachem. So if you hold that Havara and the Lav Yosel, it means that it's a separate Yisur. It's not really a Malacha. So perhaps it should not be carried over from Shabbos to Yom Tov. So that's 2 days in Tesis, from Sukkot and the first pair of Sukkot. And even if one will hold like the other day in Tesis that Havorah does carry over to Yom Tov, so the Shagasari argues and the Haskinah argues, yeah, because that's not really right to say that Havorah and Alav Yom Tov means that Havorah is not a Malachah at all. I mean, there are only 38 Malachahs. How can that be? No, of course there are 39 Malachahs. One time is of the opinion that one of the 39 Malachahs was singled out by the Chumash, for Svarish, Chumash, Esechem, that there's no Kores and there's no Misa, but it doesn't mean that it's not a Malacha. It's that yes, that a component it is in the category of Malacha, has all the requirements of Malacha's Mashav, this is the Sakin, the Kalkol, it all works. The group, all the laws of Malacha apply to Havor. So basically it is a Malacha. Just that one kind of hold that the Torah was Machadish, that you knock down the Omshu. It doesn't have the Kores with the Misa. But by Tchumen, one can argue the point very easily. They said Tchumen is not an Isa Malacha at all. So even though one could hold that Chumen is their Eis on Shabbos, even in the Chalav and say that on Yom Tov it doesn't apply. For example, Shvisas Behemtos. Shvisas Behemtos is a discussion in the Ramah, in Hilchas Yom Tov, whether Shvisas Behemtos applies to Yom Tov like it applies to Shabbos. Maybe it's only good in Hilchas Shabbos. You don't necessarily carry over all the dinim of Shabbos to Yom Tov. Take, for example, Kiddush. So there's a big dispute in the Rishonim where the Kiddush on Yom Tov is the Reis of the Rabban. Imar says in Brachas Avtoka, Kiddush on Shabbos is the Reis. So it doesn't necessarily follow that everything on Shabbos applies to Yom Tov, perhaps one can be Mechal. So the Rabban writes Mefurish in the end of Hilchos Shabbos that Kiddush and Havdalah both on Shabbos and Yom Tov, everything is the Reis. Imar Mishnah writes on the side of the Rabban that not everybody agrees that there are those who hold that on those who hold that Havdalah is only the Rabban and even on Shabbos. Those who hold that Kiddush on Yom Tov is only the Rabban. But you don't equate Yom Tov to Shabbos, the whole dinei Yisham. You don't carry everything over to the Yom Tov. So it's nitan hayamer that we can understand very well why there will be Rishonim who say that even if Tchumen is derais, it doesn't apply to Yom Tov Menatur. Maximum it will be on Yom Tov, along with the Rabban. Let's talk at the discussion at the end of the first parak in Erevin, whether you get Malkus or not on Chum Shabbos. So the Gemara discusses it. Mar it's quoted a lap shinita and lasaras misses dead. What do you mean a lap shinita and lasaras misses dead? The pasuk that says al yetsi yishvim komo really means to say that you're not allowed to carry. Rashi and Chumash says like that. Al yetsi yishvim komo. According to the Tanaim, we hold that Tchumen is lav derais. According to the Ramot pasuk, all of Tchumen is lav derais. What do you mean the pasuk? It says shvuish tafkav al yetsi yishvim komo. So Rashi and Chumash writes pasuk shat. Al yetsi yishvim komo v'keilof biyodo. That they used to carry out their pots and their pans in order to collect their money and put it in. And they didn't carry it, scoop it up in their hands. They would put it into a container and carry it back home in pots and pans. And Shabbos, after the Baruch Hu commanded them, Al Yetzi Yishman Kol, no one should walk out of their houses carrying the pots and pans. They didn't make an Erev. They would have had one of the American rabbis that would have made an Erev, but they didn't make an Erev in the Midbar. So they weren't allowed to carry it. Some of the Rishus Aram Deraisa. Some of the Rishus Aram Deraisa. From the Midbar. From the Midbar, there's Rishus Aram Deraisa. So they didn't have an heir, so they were not allowed to carry. So that's the Pashup Shat and the Pashup. But one opinion of the Gemara is that although Tchumen is Taka Deraisa, but since in the same Pashup contains two ideas, one idea is that you're not permitted to carry, Al Yetzi Yishman Koma V'Kelev B'Yodai. And the other idea in the Pashup is Al Yetzi Yishman Koma, not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum, so that's what we call Alav shenita lasaros misidesna. What exactly does that mean? Alav shenita lasaros misidesna. The Tesis has tainus against that. That the Tesis is near an Erevin, the end of the first, the end of the lived up in the first period of an Erevin. That's tainus that based on other passages in the Gemara, in Balakam, and other places, it doesn't make sense to call this Alav shenita lasaros misidesna. So they reinterpret the Gemara that it doesn't mean like that. It's, it means a different thing. It's like Alav shebecholos. It means a different thing. Now you have a pasuk which has two levels of interpretation. So if one of them is the Pshuta Shal Mikra and another one is an additional level of interpretation, Shagamze Nichlav Pshat HaPazit, this is also included, but the real Pshuta Shal Mikra really means something else. So then we have a cloud that there's no Malkus on the Lav Shebechlovas, and the thing that's also included, because in order to give Malkus, we discussed yesterday or 2 days ago, a Lav that's similar to Lasasim Shavadishim. So the Sasma Shabbatish is a big fat laugh that's written in the Chumash. It's written and it says what it means. It means what it says. The Farish Allah in the Post. If you have something that's only known through the Torah Shabbat Peh, it's not written at all, or even if it is written, but the Pshuta Shal Mikra means something else. It's only an additional level of interpretation in the Post. It's like the Torah Shabbat Peh's interpretation of the Post. It's not really the Pshuta Shal Mikra, so that's not considered Dumi the Lab the Hasim. So there wouldn't be any Malkus on it. So that's what Tesis interprets. Is the dispute among the Amoraim at the on the last daf in the first Teruk in Erevin. They argue when you read that pasuk, "Al yetzi tchumo." So according to one opinion in the Gemara, it only refers to tchumen. It doesn't refer. It only refers to haitzor. Al yetzi shmen kamer v'kelav biyodav. You're not allowed to carry your pots and pans in order to carry in them. And it's not at all referring to tchum shabbos. So it's not referring to tchum shabbos. So tchumen is lav deraisa. But even according to those who hold that tchumen is deraisa, the Gemara still has two variations as to what is the Pshuta Shal Mikra and what is the additional level of interpretation. If the Pshuta Shal Mikra is Haitzor, Al Yetzi Shmen Kam, you shouldn't carry, and as an additional level of interpretation, we're adding on to the Pasuk and saying that it also is alluding, is also referring to Chum Shabbos. So if something is also referring to, then you don't get Malkus on that. But if the Pshuta Shal Mikra is referring to Tchum Shabbos, then it would be Malkus. Why not? It's not really a Lav Shenita Lasaros Misbez. Lav Shenita Lasaros Misbez really means in Gansan a different thing. The Gemara has the whole discussion in the middle of Erevin regarding the definition of ear, because the din is that Tchum Shabbos doesn't begin to be counted, let's say the Alpamama. You don't just count it from where I happen to live. If everybody lives in the same city, then they all have the same Tchum Shabbos. So the Gemara has to have the whole discussion of Shnayis and Grisis and Gemara. How do you determine what's the status of an ear? If you have an ear which is Mekafis Chayim, so you understand the wall is the border of the city. What if you have a city that doesn't have any wall around it? So what do you have to have? What are the city limits? Where does the city end? And what do you need to constitute a city? You have two people living in two bungalows, that's a city. One person lives all by himself, that's not called a city. So how many people, what's the bare minimum that you have to have? So a lot of Gemaras, you have to collect together. A lot of Gemaras, you can get the Hilchos Yoni Dachas. The din of Yoni Dachas only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So Yoni Dachas has to be in the year. So what's the minimum population that you need, that it should be considered a city? And what is there any requirement as to how the layout of the city has to be, the geography, how the houses have to be structured, how close they have to be to each other. So there's a whole discussion in the Gemara back there. The Gemara in the first paragraph said, Em has a din regarding Yoni Dachas, that it has to be ear below Kfar and ear below Krach. If it's a little village, it doesn't have the din of Yoni Dachas. If it's a big metropolis, then it also doesn't have a din of Yoni Dachas. That's a special din in Hilchos Yoni Dachas, ear below Krach. If it's too big, if it's too large a population, then it doesn't have a din of Yoni Dachas. And in Hilchos Tchumen, you don't have that deal. Ear below Krach wouldn't bother me. A Krach is also an ear. And I said the whole city has one big tchum, and all the people who live in the city have one tchum, and you have to figure out where the city lives. But the ear below Kfar, it was only a village and a taka, not an ear. So what's taka, the minimum? So the Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin, when discussing a little bit, briefly, the dinim of ear and dahas, so the Gemara has a machlekes tanoim, whether the minimum population is 100. One opinion is the minimum, I think the right task was like that. The minimum population is 100, or the minimum population I think is 10. Don't shoot me. I thought the minimum population is 10. Here in Tezvav on the base, Machlekes Rabbi Yoishi and Rabbi Yonisim on the bottom, the Tanya, in the end of the first Perek in Sanhedrin. One opinion is the minimum population is 10, one opinion is the minimum population is 100. That's how we pass the minimum population is 100. Lest anyone think that it's only a local Machlekes in Hilchas Nidachas, so the right in Hilchas Megillah applies it in Kol HaTarupul. He says, no, this is a universal Machlekes. What's the minimum population you have to be endowed with the status of an ear? He says, there's a din by Mikra Megillah. In the beginning of Mishnayis Megillah, you have a din, the Bnei HaKfar Makdimim Liyar Maknisa. Those who live in the villages have a kula, the Zman HaZeh, the Marshals that doesn't apply anymore, after the Kulkan by Hashem. But the Zman HaMikdash, they used to have a kula that they would be permitted to read the Megillah on the Monday and the Thursday before Purim, in the event that Purim didn't fall out on the Monday and Thursday. The people who live in the Ayoras Gedolas, Korim Baba Yom, have to read the Megillah on Purim. Those who live in Ayoras, on Kav Chom, on Shushan Benon, read the Megillah on Shushan Purim. So how does one distinguish between a kvar and an ear? It's al pidin, it has to be an ear. So you have also, so the Ravid in Hilchas Megillah on the side of the Rambam, quote this Gemara, has to have a minimum population of 100. That's number one. Then you have number two, there's a Mishnah in Erechid, and the same Mishnah appears, the same line in the Mishnah appears in Erevid. The same thing appears, where the Mishnah discusses what's the minimum structure, building that you have to have. You can have 100 people, but if they all live in one building, so then it wouldn't have the din of an ear. You have to have a minimum of gimel chatzeros. Each chatzer has to have a minimum of 2 batim in it. You have to have a minimum of 6 batim. You have to have a minimum of 6 homes. And 2 homes have to constitute 1 chatzer, then 2 homes have to have another chatzer, and 2 homes have to have another chatzer. If you have these gimel chatzeres, batim, each chatzer has to have a minimum of 2 batim, so then you can begin to discuss that it should be, and you have a 100, minimum population of 100 people, then it's called an ear. How long do the people have to live there? Let's say you have a place, everybody goes in, goes out, the business people are just traveling, nobody lives there for more than 2 days. But you always have more than 100 people, so is that sufficient? So the Mishnah Berurah discusses that. How long do the people have to live there? No, they have to have temporary permanent residence. So what says permanent residence? The Mishnah in the end of Sanhedrin, speaking of Hilchas Irei Nidachas, talks about what's the definition of permanent residence. It means 30 days. Sometimes there are dinim that if the person lives there for 30 days, that's permanent enough. I mean, on the level of their eyes, not only for mezuzah purposes. Mezuzah is, we assume mezuzah, if you rent an apartment, it's only the rabbanim. But if you buy, so that's why we give you a break that you don't have to put up the mezuzah for the first 30 days. The viewers are right. And after 30 days, it looks like it's a viras keva, or it's before 30 days, there's no marasayin. After 30 days, it's a marasayin. People will think that it's yours. But we assume that mezuzah by renting is only the rabbanim. But the Gemara has dinim deraisa that depend on 30 days. The Gemara has other dinim deraisa that depend on your base chodesh. That's a deal in the Mishnah Berurah. How permanent do the 100 residents have to be in the city? They should have the status of the city. They should have a din of Tum Shabbos. The whole city should have one Tum. And you don't say each person living there has his own Tum Shabbos. It's a shayla. Mishnah Berurah quotes Achraim who talk about this. And how close do the chatzeres have to be to each other? You say the Mishnah said an Erevin and an Erevin. We're talking about Bati Ari Chaimah. The din that we were discussing the other day, Bati Ari Chaimah, is a special din that only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but it has to have a din of an ear. Let's say I have a house and I built a wall around my own house and it's in Eretz Yisrael. So that doesn't have the din of Bati Ari Chaimah. Bati Ari Chaimah has to be an ear. Bati Ari Chaimah. Has to be an ear hamakev skarmen and also shul benun. I mean, most things are in the chetni. So, what's the minimum dimensions that it should have the status of an ear? So, you have to put together all these gemaras, the minimum population, and Mishnah and Erechim, speaking about Bati Erechim, says it has to have a minimum of gimel chatzeres with beis batim each. So, Tosis and Erechim raises the question, how close do the chatzeres have to be? You say they have to be continuous. Mamish touching. The three chatzeres have to be mamish touching, a wall around it, then another chatzer. And what if they're like this? Oh, if they're within 3 tefachim, so you say love it. That's it? Only 3 tefachim to each other? What if they're a little further apart? How close do they have to be? That they'll be mitzvah yach. So Tosis comes up with a shiur. If they pull that a shiur from the Mishnah, that sounds like a shiur de Rabbanon. A shiur v'mama v'shirayim, that is an obscure shiur. Between 70 and 71 amos. So shiur in the Mishnah. Which anyone who learns Mishnah would get the impression that it's clearly a Shia de Rabbanan. So Tosafot says, no, it has to be that it's a Shia de Raisa. Otherwise, You don't know what's the shear, how close to the chatseris have to be that they should be mitzav. Places claims it's not mistabit to insist that the chatseris have to be contiguous. That if the three chatseris are not touching, then it wouldn't be mistar to make a sin. So Tais comes up with this whopper of a chiddush that the shiva mama the shirai and the shir deraisa. The Gemara learned it out from a pasuk, but if you look at the pasuk that the Gemara learned it out from, it sounds like a chsidish remnant. Sounds for sure like a derabon. It doesn't sound at all like a din deraisa. The Gemara says you take the chatzer amishkan, which was 50 by 100, and you make it into a square, and then you take the square root of that. So that's going to be Shiva Ma'am and Shiva. What does it got to do with anything? What are you taking the Mishkan for? So the Gemara makes a whole remiss from the Pasuk. The Taisi says no, that it's a real drush of the Gemara Deraisa. It's hard to tell. When we look at Pesukim, it's hard to tell. A lot of times the Gemara has a drush and we could swear that that sounds like it's only maximum. And that's Machtim of the Rabbana, and then it's Mukhaf from the Gemara, that it's a real Din Deraisa. So here also Taisi claims that it has to be that the Shiva Ma'am and the Shirayim is a Shiva Deraisa. Anyway, the Gemara has an Erev and a lot of details about this. How do you measure the city limits? Where's the end of the city? So the Gemara has sugyas there in Erev, and it's Negev to Hilchas Ari Chaimoch or a Miklot. There is Shesh Ari Miklot. So the Horeg Bishgoga has to go into the Ari Miklot. When he's inside, the Goel Adam has no right to kill him. So when is he considered inside the city limits, and when is he considered outside of the city limits? How far do the city limits go? So the Gemara says there are dinim deraisa, that a negeh to bat yarechaimo, that a negeh to other hilchas. We mentioned a din the other day about in connection with the tesis in Ksubis, that a mitzayra, an other mitzayra is mishtaleya chutz layaros hamkavs chamos reshub benun. But if you have a city in Eretz Yisrael that's not mukav chaimo, so the mitzayra may enter, but an Eben Hamanuga is mochoma. And Eben Hamanuga says beferish in the chumash, behotzi yisavanam amichutz loyir. So the Rasha Mishnah is negoyim quotes a pesefta that this then applies to all ayaros shederet yisrael. Not only we speak to ayaros hamkafas chodesh, even to any year. So it's negated to many, many dinim. What has the status of the city? Negated to bati yorichaimah, negated to shiloach mitzarayim, negated to shiloach havonim minugoyim, negated to ori miklah, negated to irani dach, negated to mikra megillah, zedin derabonah, negated to tchumen, going to one time is derais, going to some is derabonah. So the Gemara in the middle of the Erev, in the Ketzad Ma'abrim, that's an end of the Perek, in the middle of the Erev. So the Gemara has their distinction between the Negeta Ori Miklo, there's one din, what the city limits are, and the Negeta Tchum Shah, but since we usually assume that Tchumen is Labda, Tchumen is Ori Abon, we're talking about Tchumen of Alpaimam, of Mil. So that's, no one holds like Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva sheet is that Tchumen is the Raisa, Alpine Mama, but we for sure don't pass like that. The only machloek is the Rambam and the Riz and the Makaber against the Ramor and the Chachmi Ashkenaz is what about Tchumen of Yud-based Mil? The Tchumen of Mil of Alpine Mama is clearly only the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says since Tchumen is only the Rabbanon, therefore we're more lenient as far as where the end of the city limits are. The Gemara gives you explicit details about it. Exactly where are you Mekel? To what extent are you Mekel? The Mishnah at the end of the second parak in Ksubis also has a kula, because we assume that Chum Shabbos is Lav Deraisa, so therefore we'll make all that a Katan Shehigdil is Neman to say the Gadlusa, Eila Neman Lahoy the Gadlusa, Mashiro the Katnusan. A person can testify at the age of 15 that he remembers as a child, at the age of 10, he used to walk with his father or with the rabbi, Adkan Hayinu Halchem Le Chum Shabbos. Normally a child is not to me, is not Neman, is not believed to say after Bar Mitzvah what he remembers from before Bar Mitzvah. So we assume a cotton is probably not Medayik, a cotton is a lot by Daz. Maybe he wasn't careful to, maybe he didn't. Sometimes the Kanim are more Medayik than the Gdolim. But sometimes they have a whole distorted picture of the Mitzvahs, because they're looking for different things in life. Sometimes you have Gdolim who have a distorted perception also. That's what we call a Shaitan, a Cherish. But normal Gedolim have a clear perception of what's happening. And Kotten is a lot by that, so Kotten Shehigdil would not be Neman to say what happened before. Except the Mishnah has at the end of the second parak in Ksubis, if it's only been a get to Kiyim Shtoris, the Kiyim Shtoris is only the Rabbanon, and a get to Achilles Truma the Rabbanon, the kid is going to say, oh, I remember as a child I went to Cheder with this guy, and I remember his father used to take him out of Cheder sometimes before Shkia, that he should be terrible in the mikveh, that he should be allowed to eat Truma. So the Mishnah says if you're dealing with feeding this individual Truma de Rabbanon, so the Kadosh Shehigdil will be never to identify him as a time to allow him to eat Truma de Rabbanon. Or Benegir to Tchum Shabbos to say, I can't have you in a mahasma Tchum Shabbos. Benegir to Dinim de Rabbanon, he says the Kadosh Shehigdil would be never. The Gemara has a klal in the middle of the Erevin. Then hey, then Vav and Erevin, the Gemara gives you a list of all of the klal. Whenever there's a machlekes, Rabbi Yudah Reb Shimon had he passed. Whenever there's a machlekes, Rabbi Yudah Reb Yosef. Whenever there's a machlekes, Rabbi Meir Reb Shimon. The Gemara gives all the klalim. Tanoi, Roim, a whole bat Gemara, all of the klalim. Then the Gemara gives more klalim. The Gemara throws in another klal. Halachik Dibra Mekel Be Erev. Forget about it. Whatever the klalim are in Kol HaTarakula, but in Erev, whenever there's a machlekes, you always go the kula, like halachik divra mekel ba'ovel. Whenever there's a machlekes in avelus, you go the kula. In avelus, we can understand that halachik divra mekel ba'ovel, because we assume that all of avelus is only the rabbanon. So it's a din de rabbanon kal. So he said, whenever there's any suffix in avelus, you go the kula. What about halachik divra mekel ba'erev? What about erev etchumen? What if one holds that chum Shabbos is their ice? What if you hold alpai mam is their ice? They still have a right to be mekel on everything. The place is there. In Erev in Adat Mem Vav, on Mem Zayin, Tosis quotes the Tshuvas HaGoyim. It's interesting, the Ramban and the Torah Sa'odom, Torah Sa'odom has all the Hilchos Avelus. Ramban and Torah Sa'odom quotes that Tosis B'Shem HaGoyim. Tosis in Erev in, quotes in the name of the Goyim, that even if one would hold that Avelus Yom Rishon is their Reis, the Shitas HaGoyim V'Hasfardim, that Avelus Yom Rishon is their Reis, Tosis says, you still say Halachi the Ramek of Vav. And even if one will hold that Chumen is their Reis, you still say Halachi the Ramek of the Erev. Kach nemar halacha, it's a separate din. It's not that it's based on the din of Sveka de Rabbanu Lekula, and you go even one step further. But not only is it a Lekula, if you have a Sofek HaShokul, even if you have a Reib against the Miyud, you still say any Sofek Kaldu. Halacha de Ramekel Be'ovel, or Halacha de Ramekel Be'er. It says not true. Even if one will hold that Avelis and Rishon would be their Reis, places themselves happen to disagree. They hold that Avelis and Rishon is not their Reis. Ramot Pasmas, that there's no Avelis their Reis. Mechaber Pasmas, Avelis and Rishon is their Reis. There are more pasmas than nothing, no avelus is the rice. The same is by the tchumen. Chava pasmas that tchumen, yud beis mil, is the rice, or like the ramen. The reason the ramen is mekel. Apparently the svarim are more machman than the rashman. So the Patasis says that even if one would have accepted the other opinion, that tchumen is the rice, and avelus and mishan is the rice, then he would still say lekula. Alok diba mekel bavon, alok diba mekel be'erev, is an independent kalam. The passage introduces the whole story over here when the laws of Chumen were given. It was given in conjunction with the Mon. Where in Midbar Sin? So it doesn't say you have to look in Masay, where it lists off all of the Masor. So it says, where did they go after Eilim? So it says there, I think, Olush or something. The Ramban on Chumash quotes exactly which city was it. So it says at that time, by going to call Adag Mesal Moshe Bal Am Amidbar, what are we going to eat? They're saying we have no food to eat. So I thought Adag said, okay, I'm going to give food, I'm going to give lechem and hashamayim, we're going to give basar. So then the laws of Shabbos were given in conjunction with Eishe Shatofu Eifu. They should cook whatever they want before. They don't want to eat raw food on Shabbos. And on Shabbos they're not allowed to cook. That's Mufurish in the Pasuk, that Bishul is forbidden on Shabbos. They had to cook all the food on Erev Shabbos, and there's nothing to collect on Shabbos. Al Yetzi Yishma Tomer, they shouldn't go out to collect. So we showed him, we have a discussion of the issue of the international dateline. Some of them are a little bit vague, and the Sefer HaKuzari is a little bit vague. So the Mufurishim and the Sefer HaKuzari suggest interpretations of what he said. Some claim that the international dateline has to have it that Olush, in the middle of the world. What's that, the Zalush? Because that's when the laws of Shabbos began. When was it relevant? What day of the week it is? Why not Kamina? To any human being in the world, what day of the week it is? What's the difference with it? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? Shabbos. So the laws of Shabbos were given at Olush, when they were given the month. The month came down in Hashemayim, so they were told that the 6 days they should collect it. Oh, so Olush is the center of the world. Center of all of civilization as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned. Others say, no, but that is Olush. Maimon HaSinai. It was one little prata of Hilchos Shabbos was given over the year. Not to collect the money on Shabbos, and not to go chutz l'kum, and not to carry, but the bulk of Hilchos Shabbos, the Malachas, were given later. And Maimon HaSinai said, that's what other Mefarshim and Sefer HaKuzari say, that HaSinai should be Asina should be the center of the upper hemisphere, and maybe the international day one should be 90 degrees to the east. But that's the Meforshim and the Kuzari have this. But the simple reading of the Kuzari is the same as the Balamor, same as the Roch HaRishon. All the Rishonim were discussed, but they all say Loizeh veLoizeh, Zeloh Alush, Zeloh Har Sinai, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the center of the upper hemisphere, and the international date line is supposed to be 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. It doesn't make so much of a difference. It came out on the same area on the globe.
What's 90 degrees from?
If you divide the world into two hemispheres, an upper hemisphere and a lower hemisphere, so the Iker hemisphere is where Eretz Yisrael is. That's the Middle East. That's where everything, all the things are happening here in Bereshit, in Shmos, Kabbalah Sater, and everything. So the center of the whole world is going to be either Har Sinai, when the laws of Shabbos were given, or Adush, when the laws of Shabbos were first given, Kedem Har Sinai, or Yerushalayim, because that's the center of the world. So 90 degrees to the east is going to be the edge of that hemisphere, the upper hemisphere. 90 to the east, 90 to the west, that's one hemisphere, 180 degrees. And the full globe is 360 degrees. So that's what the Rishonim, the Meforshim all assume, the international date line is 90 degrees to the east of somewhere, either Yerushalayim or Alush or Har Sinai. It's going to be about the same place. It's going to cut through the tip of Asia. Doesn't make so much of a difference when you say Kozer, Kozer. It's about the same thing anyway.
You divide the world into two hemispheres, upper and lower.
Yeah.
So the upper all still has 180 degrees around. That's 360 degrees around.
Yeah.
So why is it being divided into 90?
No, but when you're going to the east and to the west, you go 90 degrees to the east is the end of that, the eastern end of the hemisphere, 90 degrees to the west, to the western end of that hemisphere. Around you're going to have a circle, always has 360, but if you have a circle going on the equator, let's say, if you have Yerushalayim on top, that's what we assume, and then you're going around the equator, so one hemisphere will have 180 degrees around, and the other hemisphere will have the other 180 degrees.
And going up around
on the equator. You're going around the equator. So around the whole equator is going to be 360 degrees.
The globe. It's going to be the center of the hemisphere. That would be it.
That's it. That's the question. Where is the center of the hemisphere? The Talmud Farshim on the Sefer HaKuzari misunderstood the Kuzari, having said that it's Alush. Because that's when the laws of Mon, the laws of Shabbos were given by the occasion of the Mon.
The international day one is supposed to be at the edge of that hemisphere?
At the edge of that hemisphere. Yeah. Which cuts through whatever, all the three suggestions that I just gave, they all cut through the tip of Asia. Just a couple of miles away, not so much of a One of the dinim of the month was that they weren't allowed to leave over till the next morning. Till the next morning. Rashi at the end of the parsha, however, writes, it's Amon Ochlu at Boyamat Kitzei Eretz Kinoan, right at the end of Shishi, right before Shvi. So Rashi says that they ate Amon Aboyim Shono. Bnei Yisrael Ochlus Amon Aboyim Shono. So Rashi makes a whole calculation for the Medrash. How can it be Aboyim Shono? If Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar. So Rashi says that the Amon that they collected, after Moshe Rabbeinu died, then the Amon stopped. So how do they have Amon? And the Pasuk says that they were, the Pasuk says in Yeshua, they were still eating the Amon until Tesvav Nisan. How could that be? But the month stopped coming down after Moshe Rabbeinu died. So Rashi says, yeah, that they kept, he quotes the Medrash, that they kept the month in their kelim, the month that came down on Zayin Adar, that they kept for a month. It lasted for a little over a month. So the Meforshim all ask Akasha, but you're not allowed to leave over the month until the next morning. The Hanisim. So how come they left it over? And the Farshim and Rashi all talk about that. Unless one should say that's what they eat, it's a shvelity. What the Brisker Rav said that. No, this is a standard in the Farshim that gives like that. Apparently the Hoy. This is all Hoyrashoah, that Mon. It's not a Din Lederis. Even if Mon would fall down from heaven today, there would be no issue to leave it over to Mon. It's not a Din. Whenever Mon happens to fall down, whether in America or in Eretz Yisrael or in Midbar Sinai, you're not allowed to leave it over. So Hoyrashoah, the whole thing was only Hoyrashoah. So how long did the Hoyrashoah last? So the Russia only lasted as long as the Mon was falling down. As soon as they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu died, the Mon is not going to fall down anymore, no more HaRosho. So then they can put it in the freezer and keep it in the water. So they kept it for a month. Then when they came to Eretz Kenan, so they started eating regular food. That's what some unfortunately say. The whole thing was purely Harasha. But it's interesting, it says that if they left overnight, it would develop worms. It would get spoiled. Not stam, there was an issue to leave overnight. It would spoil. Apparently is a very sensitive food. Rabbi Hirsch has in one of his essays in Chorei an interesting comment. You have to be careful about what he says. That he says the more mekudesh an inyan is, so the more sensitive it is. And the more sensitive it is, so the more susceptible it is to spoilage. So he says, take for example, if you have meat that they slaughtered wherever in Wyoming, and then they put it in a freezer, and then they send it to New York. So it takes a long time till it gets to New York, and then the butcher keeps it in the freezer, then your mother keeps it in the freezer. Till you eat it, it could be weeks and weeks after it was slaughtered. If it would have been a korban, it would have been nifsal belina already. If it would have been kachin kachin, it would be nifsal yom v'layla. It would be nifsal yom v'layla. If it's kachin kalim, so you have shnei yom v'layla. You see that if something is mekudesh, so it's more sensitive to spoilage and less time. And the more mekudesh it is, so the more sensitive it is. Apparently this was Dovah Mekudesh Miyoy, this holy lechem in Hashemayim, this holy bread that came down from heaven. There's in fact that discussion that the Achrayim have. What bracha did they say in the midbar when they ate the manna? Some Achrayim said, they said, Amotzi lechem in Hashemayim. They were saying, Amotzi lechem in Haaretz. Chumash calls it lechem in Hashemayim. I think the Ramah Mitanu writes that, if I'm not mistaken. I think of Yanki Femdin, his masik on the Ramah Mitanu. And he says, what do you mean? No bracha was recited at all, because the Gemara only says, Asa lohavim sheyahanim in olam hazeh. Like bracha, but if you're nenef ma'olam haba, so you don't need any bracha at all. What's the whole? So the latest spark talk about what? What's the tega zot? What's the tega halpin? What are they talking about over here? What's the whole debate? What he said? This bracha, no bracha. The whole discussion. But obviously, this was some kind of holy food that was very mekudesh miyot. That when it stayed overnight, when it stayed yom v'layla overnight, it would not only be nitzvah belina, that would be possible. It would turn worming. Or mamish spoiled because it was so mekudesh. The more mekudesh something is, so the more sensitive it is, the sensitive it is to zman. It becomes nifsal earlier. Rabbeinu Hirsch has this when he gets to minhagim, when he gets to shmiras hamitzvos. He says you have to be very careful regarding shmiras hamitzvos and minhagim. Just because we observe the Torah in a certain generation, in one generation one way, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way you keep the Torah in the younger boy throughout all the generations. To continue observing the mitzvah sefera the same way our forefathers did sometimes looks kichucha v'yakluba. You have to he's not calling for reform, but he's calling for realizing that sometimes circumstances require that we live in a changing world, so that sometimes the change in the world affects the halacha, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes the whole picture from arum and arum presents you with a different shayla. So different shayla requires sometimes a different tshuva. It's not always going to be the same shayla. Take for example, how should a Jew dress? So Jews years ago used to dress with kapotas, with white socks and so on. Why they dress like that? Because that's the way the Kabbalah the Goyim dressed. So that's the way the Jews dressed also. A Jew has to dress like a human being, has to dress like a man. And what happens before the Second World War when the Goyim didn't dress like that anymore in Poland? So then the Miri Yeshiva and the other Yeshiva, so they dressed with suits, with jackets, with ties, with white hats, with straw hats. You look at the pictures, they dressed the way the Goyim dressed. So to insist on dressing, like Avodah Zarah said, yes, a little bit that doesn't make sense. The whole point of dressing nicely is that Kvod HaAdam dictates that a person should dress like a normal human being, that he should know that he's a normal person. Or let's say, my both grandfathers never went to college. Why? Because when they were, and what did they do for a living? They were both peddlers. They both didn't make a living. My both grandfathers didn't make a living. But what did they try to do for a living? They tried to be peddlers. So why didn't they go to college? Because 98% of the grandchildren didn't go to college. So they did the same as the goyim. Why were they peddlers? Because 98% of the goyim world was peddlers. How was anybody making a panos? So that's what the voice of is saying. They did the same thing. A person has to live in this world like a normal, and the, whatever percentage was of the goyish world was going to university, there was always a higher percentage of Jews going to university. Jews were always more intelligent than everybody. There were always Jews going to medical school in Italy and so on. The Vilna Goyim wanted to go to medical school in Italy, and his father didn't let him. And Hagdama to the Pas HaShulchan, the Talmud of the Gror, the Sof Mishklov, writes it up. That is, the Goyim wanted to go to medical school in order to understand Hilchos Treifus there. He said he doesn't fully understand anymore. So the father said, if you're going to go to medical school, you'll be the best doctor in the world, and then you'll be mechuyev to be metapel in the sick patients, because pikuach nefesh, and then you won't be able to sit and learn. So his father didn't let him go to medical school. But there were always a high percentage of Jews going to medical school and university. The Geduli Truma went to university, and then he writes, he had charote, why he wasted all of his time in the university. He didn't become a doctor. Wasted all of his time there. There were always Jews going to university. The same percentage as, always a higher percentage, whatever percentage of the Goyish population went to university, the same and more you had by Jews. The Jews always, it's not avera to do the same thing that the Goyim are doing, that's normal. A person has to act like a normal human being. So if you live at a time that everybody's going to university, and one who doesn't go to university doesn't fully understand what's going on, so it's muva me'eva that Jews will also go to university. Of course it's going to be Chilul Shabbos, if it's going to be Apikuris, it's there, so you're not allowed to. So of course, 90 years ago, 100 years ago, when there was Meiridik Apikursus going on in all the universities, so Abchaim Briska and Abchaim Ozer, they all said that it's Yohar Yvah Yavah. Not allowed to go to university, even if it means that you're going to lose your life, even if they're going to draft you in the army, you're going to get killed in the army. Not allowed to go to university, because at that time it meant Apikursus. Go to Yeshiva University, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's Apikursus. I don't know. Gotta find out. But if you have a university, but it's not necessarily Apikursus, then you can't say. Abchaim Moses said you're not allowed to go to university. Abchaim Briska said you're not allowed to go. What do you mean you're not allowed to go? It depends what are you talking about. In which generation? What kind of university? It's not just because the word university like Zera Shah. If you live in different times, so it's a different Shiloh, so it's a different Shuvah. Abchaim was very opposed to the Zionist movement. So you have to be opposed to the Zionist movement. What Zionist movement? There's a Medina Yisrael now. If Abchaim would have lived after 1948, what would he have said? Could be he would say the same thing, but a person has to know Rav Chaim very well to be able to guess what would Rav Chaim have said after 1948. And let's say after 1948, Rav Belbel was still very opposed to the Medina. So, and after Mohammed Sheisha Tayyamim also, and after all the Muhammads also, after Muhammad Yom HaKippurim also, everything remains the same, the other word, nothing ever changed. And after Mashiach Tzidkenu will come also, nothing ever changes. Obviously, sometimes you live in a changing world, it's a different Shaila. Sometimes outside factors affect what the Shaila. So that's what the Rabbi Nehirsch writes about. He writes, he's attacking the way they observe the mitzvahs in Eastern Europe. He's attacking the Polish Jews. He says that he didn't like the fact that they all sat in yeshivas and they learned. They felt that they should all go to university. This is part of his text. He quotes about the Kochim Kochim and the Kochim Kalim and the Mon, that the more Mekudish something is, so the more it spoils, the shorter its lifetime will be, and it'll be Nifsal Delina earlier. So he says when it comes to Minhagim and Shmiras HaMitzvahs, we have to always reinvestigate to make sure are we observing the mitzvahs properly. The Shmiras HaMitzvahs will sometimes be Nifsal Delina. Basically, from the beginning of Beitza, has a whole discussion, did the man fall down on Yom Tov or not? On Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook. And on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry. But on Yom Tov, there's a heter echal nefesh. So what's the problem? Maybe the man came down on Yom Tov. Eisu shetofu eidu, eisu shetivash lo bashelu, and you're not allowed to carry. How does it say? Al yetzi ish mumkama v'kelo v'yod, and Rashi says, you're not allowed to carry. But on Yom Tov, with the Torah echal nefesh, you're allowed to carry, you're allowed to cook. So maybe the man did come down on Yom Tov. So that's what Tosis raises the question. So they say from the Gemara in Beitza is Muchach Lehedya. The Gemara said the famous that the Mon did not come down, either on Shabbos, the Pasuk said on Shabbos didn't come down. The Gemara Beitza said the famous, the Mon did not come down on Yom Tov. And based on the base, the Gemara said the famous. The Pesach has Midrashim, which they understand by Baruch HaLakim Nisiyom HaShvi, by Kaddish HaYisrael. So Rashi and Chumash quote, Berach HaBaman, Rikit HaBaman. So that means that the Mon didn't come down on Shabbos, and the Mon came down double. Berach HaMon is a bracha. Bracha means extra, that there was a double portion of Mon on Erev Shabbos, and the Mon didn't come down at all on Shabbos. So the Pasuk only says, regarding Shabbos. What about Yom Tov? So in the davening, which is based on a medrash, we say, is more so than all the other days. And if the Chachamim had a tradition that refers to the man, and in the davening we say it sounds like that only on Shabbos did the man not come down, and the double portion came down in Erev Shabbos, and on Yom Tov the man did come down. So that's what Tosfos is bothered with that kasha. So one suggestion they give is maybe it's Taka Machlekes. Maybe the Tanoim had two opinions, that the man came down on Yom Tov or not. And Tosfos suggests maybe not so. Maybe everybody would agree with what it says in the Talmud Bavli that the man did not come down on Yom Tov. And what we say in the davening, Barach Tos Mekom Kedash Tanikol Azmanim, it means that the man had a better flavor, had a better time on Shabbos than it did on Yom Tov. Had a better time on Yom Tov than it had on the weekdays. Every day the man had a different flavor. So on Shabbos it had a better flavor than it did on Yom Tov. But it doesn't mean that it only didn't come down on Shabbos and it did come down on Yom Tov. That's what Tosfos suggests. The big issue, Halacha L'maisa, because we have two mitzvahs, Nidei Rabbanan, that are Zeich HaLamon. We have Lecha Mishnah, we have Shalosh Shudas. They're both Zeich HaLamon. So the question is, what about Yom Tov? So on Yom Tov, the Rishonim all assume that you need Lecha Mishnah on Yom Tov. And Shalosh Shudas, the Rambam says you do need Shalosh Shudas on Yom Tov, and we don't follow that Rambam. We pass from this Yerushalmi and Maseches Ma'aseh Sheni against the Rambam. So we're not passing against the Rambam. But on Yom Tov, there's no Chiyuv to eat Shalosh Shudas. Only on Shabbos. That's the Shalomon of Shabbos. Man of Shach. If the man came down on Yom Tov, so all the nisim of the man didn't apply, so you shouldn't need Lecha Mishnah either. So you obviously assume that the man did not come down on Yom Tov. So just like you need Lecha Mishnah, you should need Shalosh Shudas as well. A question. Shlomo Ben Vilna has a kasha in his sefer Psachani Kasha. His father, he has his Rebbe, he has Hanocha Rebbe. How come when you have Shabbos next to Yom Tov? But yes, every so often you have Shabbos and Yom Tov smoking zolazeh. So the man would not come down either on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov. So they would have to have three shears of man on Erev, the 2 days, whichever day it happened to be. So why don't we insist that whenever we have Shabbos and Yom Tov smoking zolazeh, you should need three chalas? I don't know, what's such a strong kasha? The kasha didn't excite me. So he discusses, he quoted, he says that he has this Rebbe and another Rebbe, has a whole discussion about it. I don't know. In the Sefer, and Dinya Shlomi talks about that kasha. The Pasuk says that there were people who were wise guys, so they didn't listen to what Moshe Rabbeinu said. They went out to collect the man, and they didn't find anyone. What kind of a lashon v'lo matzahu? They didn't find. There was no man. There's nothing to find. So the Medrash has a comment on this pasuk that these people wanted to show that Moshe Rabbeinu was a shakran, that it's not true, that there was man. So they went in the middle of the night, or early in the morning, they snuck out, they left someone there, and then they were going to come out on Shabbos and show everybody, look, we just collected the man. And then they didn't find the man that they had hidden there. Why didn't they find the man? Because the birds came and they ate up the man in order that no one should say that Moshe Rabbeinu is a shakran. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Minig in Hilchos Shabbos based on this medrash that the Gemara has in it, the Midrashim have an expression, not only do you have to give schar v'yonish to human beings, you have to give to animals as well. So if an animal does ma'aseh tov, so you have to reward the animals. So here the birds came to defend the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, that no one should say that Moshe Rabbeinu is a shakran. So since the birds ate up the man, as is described in Parashat B'Shalach, so the Magen Avraham writes a minig that on Shabbos Shira, every year on Shabbos B'Shalach, the minig is that the people leave food for the birds to eat as payment for schar, reward for the mitzvah gedolah that they did by eating up the man. So the Magen Avraham raises an objection against this meaning, if it's permissible or not, because the Gemara has in the end of Shabbos, in the end of Beit, so that you're only permitted to feed an animal on Shabbos. Let's say you have an Eretz, so there's no problem of carrying. So you put the crumbs in your backyard, so right, there's no problem of carrying. But there's still halacha, you're not permitted to feed animals on Shabbos and Yom Tov, unless it's Mizem Alecha, unless it's my goldfish, or unless it's my, let's say I have a farm and it's my cows.
or they're my animals, it's my responsibility to feed them. But if it's a behemoth shall have care, a dog shall have care, it's not my responsibility to feed them. Behemoths are the same alecha. So then it's a gzeir Hashem v'yotzer oisam. A gzeir mishum tzedus, you're not allowed to feed their food on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham has a taina that it's the behemoths are the same alecha. What the birds that fly around, they're not my birds. It's not my coop. So how am I permitted to feed them on Shabbos b'Shabbos? So it's not proper. The Magen Avraham has a time, it's not proper. And the other Rachmanim are miyashir the meaning, and they say no, that this is called mezeh nesei malecha. On Shabbos b'Shalach, when we read this in Kriya Satera, we want to reward the bird, so that's considered mezeh nesei malecha for this purpose. But the meaning has a mark. Yeah, put out before Shabbos Avada, no problem. And apparently the Magen Avraham quotes, the minig always knows that they put it out on Shabbos morning. At the gift of the Kriya Satera, they put it out. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put away its Tzedes Haman, the Mishmeres L'doy Reseichem, that everybody should know that for all the future generations everybody should see what the man looked like and to remember the nest of the man. We don't have any Tzintzenes Haman anymore, but this Tzintzenes Haman used to be in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam does not count this in the Minyan HaMitzvah, even though it says L'deres Eichem, it's not a Hirasha. Zeh HaDorah Shetziva Hashem Eloi HaOmer Memenu. The Mishmeris L'Deres Eichem, B'chor, it sounds like it's a mitzvah L'Deres. Hanachos to Lifnei Hashem, the Mishmeris L'Deres Eichem. Lifnei Hashem means in front of the Orem. After the Mishkan was built, the oil made with the Orem, so they put the Tzintzenes Haman right next to the Orem. So why shouldn't it be counted as a mitzvah L'Deres? Rav Velvelos Chidush among priests on the last page, he quotes the Rav Chaim commented, he was bothered with this kasha, why shouldn't it be counted? So he commented that perhaps there is no mitzvah to have the mon, but there is a mitzvah is to put away the mon. To put away the mon. Kach tzenach sachas, v'sin shamam lohem amon. The putting away of the tzenes. Since the mitzvah of putting away was only once in the history of the world, so that's not called the mitzvah ha'nehegis l'chorot. But it says it's there a seichem. Shver avot. Anyway, the Rambam, the money of mitzvah, don't count it as one of the targum. They assume something or another. I assume that that's only called the Hayu Asher. Very Shver, it says, Zeh HaDavar. Zeh HaDavar. In the beginning of part, quotation, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said. So what does that mean? That the Lord Moshe Rabbeinu was on a high madrega of that of the other Nevi. What exactly does that mean? So the Kedushas Levi explains on that Pasuk, on that Rashi in Parshas Matos, that what the problem means was that the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu was dictated word for word, letter for letter, so you can say Zeh HaDavar. This is precisely a dictation. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Osius and Nekudas. That's what the Baal HaKabbalah wrote, Osius and Nekudas. He had straight dictation. Now Shein came, the other Nevi'im had a Chazon, they had a Mara, and they would interpret the Mara in their own words, so they could, the maximum they could say is Koya Mara Hashem. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't say Zeh HaDavar, we can't say quotation, it's not a direct quotation. I but Moshe Rabbeinu by Makas Chois, it says, Koyama Hashem, Bechatzois HaLayla, Ani Yatzei B'Sech Mitzvah, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks Koyama Hashem. But Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, in the beginning of Makas, Moshe Rabbeinu is Nivuah was on a high Madrega. So the Kedushas Levi says, the only time Moshe Rabbeinu is on a high Madrega of Nivuah is, when he's saying over Dinam that Anoig Lederis, when he says over HaRuah Shor, the Moshe Rabbeinu is also only Koyama Hashem. So Makas Chois was only a Nivuah. It wasn't the Din L'Doris there. So Moshe Rabbeinu also only had a Amare Achazon, and he's interpreting it in his own words, and he puts in his own words, and he says, Koyam HaHashem. So it's interesting. Here Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zeh HaDavar Shetziva Hashem. Zeh HaDavar, according to the Kedushas Levi's interpretation, means this is a direct quotation, word for word, letter for letter. It means that this is a real Din L'Doris. And then this Din, the Rambam doesn't count it in the Minyan HaMitzvos. And it says L'Doris Seichem. And it says, HaShetziva Hashem. It says Ashatziva Hashem. Kasha Tziva Hashem is Moshe. It says Kasha Tziva. This girl always has a chumash. She points that many times. Whenever it says Kasha Tziva, Ein Loshin Tzav, Loshin Zir is Miyad Al-Adurs. Rashi writes in the opening pasuk in Parashas Tzav, ain't loshim sabah, loshim zir, is me'ala l'aris, that a mitzvah is only if it's nahegris l'aris. That's one of the Rambam's problem in the minyan mitzvah. It's only if he has 14 sharashim. There's 14 rules and regulations to determine what counts. So like in today's Seder, right before Kriyas Yantzah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu, Harei Mismatcha al Hayom Uvkoyim, lift up the stick and split the, make the Kriyas Yantzah. So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, I'm not going to count that in the minyan mitzvah, Harei Mismatcha al Hayom Uvkoyim. There was once in the history of the world, it's only called the mitzvah if it's no Hegis L'Doyvus. Hakrabas Kabbanis, he does count, even though we don't have it today. That's called the Hegis L'Doyvus. It was noy by Shmishan, by Sheni, by Shlosh. No, it's going to be noy. So that's called the mitzvah and the Hegis L'Doyvus. Trumas and Mises, even though Rambam holds it's only the Rabbanim is manazeh, the whole period of Ezra and by Sheni is manazeh, it's only the Rabbanim. But it's going to be their Isa Lossi Lava. It was their Isa in the days of Yeshua, and then it's going to be their Isa. So that's called the mitzvah and the Hegis L'Doyvus. Just because it's not made for a short period of time, that's not an explanation. It's not called the Eidon Haggis Lidah. So this is really a problem. Here it says Zehadavar, and then it says Ashatziva Hashem, and then it says Kashatziva Hashem. These two Lashonis are usually indicative of the fact that the thing is a real Din L'Doris. So as such, the Rambam should have quoted it in the Minyan HaMitzvah. He should count it. And that's the Tevra, that's what Chaim pointed out. But the Rambam doesn't count it, apparently he understood that the Mitzvah is the Hanochet, just to put it away. So that was only chad pami hanachos lefnashim. It's not a mitzvah of having it there. It doesn't seem to fit into the psukim. That's the problem. Says by the mon also zeh hadavar. Says by the mon. And Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them that they should collect the mon every day. Zeh hadavar shatziva Hashem. Says zeh hadavar. Then it says hashatziva Hashem has the two lashonis. Each one has the connotation of a din l'doris. He says, "Lick the b'menish l'fiach loyim alagi zelis mispanach esefim." This is all mamash harashah. So harashah for 40 years, but it's only harashah. So how can the chumash use such an expression? Zeh hadavar, nashativ Hashem. That's what it means. There's a different aspect. There is a din of deris over here that every father of the household is obligated to earn a parnos. He's mechuyif to support his family. Maybe that's why it says Zeh hadavar nashativ Hashem. How about the mon? The mon, everything that has to do with the mon is harashah, except for one aspect of the mon. But the head of each household was obligated to see to it that kifin mispa nashasechem ishlam yabahala tikachum, and to make sure that you make enough to feed all of the children and your family. That's a real din l'doris. That's not just the harashah. I mean, that's why it says zeh hadavar ashativ Hashem. That's the din l'doris over here. Because whatever it says about mon, that's all harashah. Rashi points out from the Medrash that there was a difference between the mon and the slav. The slav was a chicken. The slav was an oak. So they really shouldn't have requested any slav. If you don't have chicken, that's already a luxury. You can live without chicken. But the mon, that they really had a right to ask for. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. That's what the pasuk says, that the mon came down by boiker and the slav came down by erev, in the evening. Why? Because the slav, they really had no right to request, and it's a little embarrassing that the whole story with the slav. So that's why the slav came by Laila. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that there was some Achronim that they hated, quotes this. I think it was Mincha Meirev, after Meirev, I think he writes, go home after Davin, you eat supper, so when should you have fleshits, when should you have milchits? So he quotes from Balei Kabbalah that one should always refrain from eating fleshits by Yom. You should always eat the flesh by Laila, because it's a little embarrassing for the human being that he eats flesh each bechlav. He really can survive without it. He really lives as a vegetarian. That's the, and then they quote, those who study Kabbalah should always be vegetarians. All the big Balei Kabbalah. The Nazir published a whole essay about the importance of being a vegetarian, because he studied a lot of Kabbalah. It's not his idea. It's the regular son, the Kabbachayim, the Behavior quotes it. Those are the Vilna Gaon was a vegetarian. Vilna Gaon was quite a vegetarian. He wouldn't eat only on days on which he don't say Tachman. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Shchodesh. He wouldn't drink milk. He wouldn't eat egg. He wouldn't eat eggs. He wouldn't eat anything that's Yetzim and Achai. He wouldn't eat unless on a day on which Yom Tov, Shabbos, Shchodesh, on a day on which he don't say Tachman, then he would not observe his state of being a vegetarian. Rav Kook has about this about being a vegetarian. I remember years ago, they were telling you, Rav Kook was an apikiris, what kind of vegetarian? He didn't say anything, he just quoted what it says in all the Svarim, just because these people never read what it says in the regular Svarim. It's begging in the regular Shulchan Aruch to have mashmash. After that, Kata, some say that you shouldn't have flesh by yom. You should eat, those who want to eat meat, should they always eat the meat at night as if to hide when you're eating the meat. It's a little bit improper. Then in the Behetiv has a suggestion that at least Sheni v'Chamishi, Monday and Thursday, are the Yimei Hadin, so one should not eat meat. And if you don't eat meat by Yom, if you eat the meat by Laila, so which Laila is cut out? So he quotes a Machlokes, whether it's Sunday night or it's Monday night. Because Sunday night is the night that belongs to Sheni, and Wednesday night is the night that belongs to Chamishi, so it should really be Sunday night and Wednesday night. And others say no, that you treat it as if it's an inyan of Karbanis, and a Karbanis halayla halachachra yarim, so therefore it means Monday night and Thursday night, one should eat. So talk about that. There is din balayla, not there. If it's chila bayom, gomu balayla, other rabbi, that's what others say. And it's chila bayom, gomu balayla, so the din still continues on Thursday night and on Monday night. So it should be the Monday night, not the Sunday night. Because it's chila bayom, that's what the behetiv quotes. It's chila bayom, gomu balayla, so it's still called Yom Adin. Anyway, these are the minhagim that they have. I'll pick Kabbalah. What do they have here? They have fleshix every day in the cafeteria. Well, they do that too. They call it fleshix. Maybe it's imitation fleshix. I remember the Nazir was trying to convince me that I should become a vegetarian. So he said, when their daughter got married to Rabbi Goren, so he said they had a beautiful wedding and everything was vegetarian. They had imitation liver and imitation chicken and imitation. So my wife started to scream at me. Don't give me a craving, Shiga. So his wife said, what are you bothering the young man? Your book is available in the bookstores. Let him buy it on the corner if he's interested. You don't have to convince him of anything. He died a long time ago, no? When did he die? 10 years ago. No, it. 15 years ago. Slav is a bird, yes. Yeah, but still, nonetheless, Rashi quotes in the Medrash that it wasn't right. That it wasn't right. I don't remember what he told me about fish, but they quote from the Gra that he wouldn't eat fish either, he wouldn't drink milk, he wouldn't eat eggs. Except in the days on which you don't say tachna. And he always did say tachna. He's only going didn't eat tachna every other day. Only on Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat and Chalamai. So normally he did say tachna. The pasuk in the end of Mishalach has a description of Nochemes Amalek that they had at that time. It was an ace tzara. The pasuk starts up, "Bayav Amalek Olav in Yisrael Berefidim." So the Medrash has the famous comment: "There is no city named Refidim. There is no such city. Refidim is just a description of the situation." When a person is not, because people don't learn Torah, that's why wars come unto the world. The Gemara has a lot of Makoros like that. The Tzitzit collects an awful lot of Makoros that indicate like that. There are all the wars in the world, whether with the Jewish people or even wars between two non-Jewish nations, all the wars are the fault of the Jews because they're not learning Torah. First World War, Second World War, Civil War, all the wars in the world, even though no Jews are out, the wars in Siam, everything in the world. That's what it says in that Tzitzit tradition. All the wars are because of the fact that we're not learning Torah. So that's the Chacham, this is one of the sources, the Chacham commented on Berefidim. So then the Jews had to defend themselves, so Moshe Rabbeinu went up to be Mispalo, and he took with him Aaron Bechur. What did he need? Three people to be Mispalo. Pasuk Yud, in Perek Yud Zayin, it says, Moshe Aaron Bechur, all the Rosh HaGivon. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, Mikam, this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, Mikam HaTanish HaTzirich Meshloi Sholav HaLofnei HaTevo. On this day there was an eighth Torah and they were all fasting. So it's not enough with one Shliach Tzivi, you have to have three Chazanim. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes this in Hilchos Yom Kippur, that on Yom Kippur, when the Chazan davens panavim, you have to have two people standing next to him, one on his right and one on his left, because the Tanis Tzibur, Tzorech Shloisha. Magen Avraham writes that our meaning is not so. That we only have Shloisha on Leil Yom Kippur when you say Kol Nidre, because some have the meaning that called Nidri is a Hataras Nidar. So for the purpose of Hataras and Dam, you need a Bezin of Shloisha. And then the rest of Yom Kippur, what do you daven? You daven Maariv, daven Shachar, daven Musaf, daven Mincha. That you daven on a regular day. What's unique? What's the piyutim? Piyutim is same Rosh Hashanah also. There's nothing unique time to sleep with it. When you daven Nila, Nila is a Tefillah Satinus. So the Magen Avraham says, now you talk. So Nila, you should have three people. You should have two people standing next to the Chazan. So he says, so we do. He says, we always do because we usually leave the Yom Kippur open. So everybody stands. So there are only two people standing next to the chazan. So the Magen Avraham says, our meaning is that we only observe this din by Nila. We have it because there are always people standing next to the chazan, which is not always true. Because let's say the chazan stands on top of a higher elevation. The chazan stands all the way in front and everybody else is standing further back. So you don't have two people next to the chazan. So the Magen Avraham says, by Nila, you surely should have two people standing next to the chazan. Because that's Tfilos HaTaynus. And he says, only by the Kol Nidre. And others, when Medakdek, Rav Soloveitchik was Medakdek, like others, tell him, no, that you should really observe what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that the whole of Yom Kippur is a tiny Sibur. So the proper thing is, when the Shliach Sibur is davening the Shemoneh Esrei, that you should have two people stay next to him, based on this Rashi. Rashi's quoting Mechilta here. This is some major war. The Pasuk concludes, Kiyor al Keis Ko, Mechom Lashem Mamolei, the door door. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta. Why does it say ko? Why does it say case? Why doesn't it say kisei and yukei vavke? Because then Hashem shalom in a case of shalom al shimoche zara shalom olay. So obviously the zara shalom olay has not yet been eradicated. Because the Gemara says this is going to be lost in lovoy. Or it says the Moish HaMashiach, HaMolek, will be eradicated and then we will always pronounce Shem Hashem Yudkei Vavke. Boilem Hazeh, we pronounce Aleph Davod Nun Yud, and we say Ko. We don't say Yudkei Vavke. When HaMolek will be wiped out, then it will be Yudkei Vavke. Obviously, we still have to take care of HaMolek. Hasn't been finished yet. The Sefer Achinuch writes based on a Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Yarech HaZok, in the Luchos Molochim, we have a mitzvah to wipe out the Zayin Umma, Yislosachai Kol Neshama. So the Rambam says, but the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore. Kvar Ovad Zichro. He writes three words. Kvar Ovad Zichro. No more Zayin Amomim, no more Zayin Umis. They don't exist anymore. So that mitzvah doesn't apply. I have come the Rambam counted in the Minyan HaMitzvahs if it doesn't exist anymore. Because for many generations it did exist. Well, Sancheres Bilbul is Kalal and Kuv. After Sancheres came and he mixed up the whole world, so then there's no more Zayin Umis. But for many generations there was, so just because in Hechitimtzu the thing doesn't apply anymore, that's not called a mitzvah, that's not called a hirosho, it's still called a mitzvah of Derech. And Amolik, the Rambam doesn't like Farovat Zichum, that's what the Sefer Achinuch added on, that just like the Rambam wrote Farovat Zichum and the Zainum is, so too it should be regarding Amolik, Farovat, and we don't know who's an Amoleki, whoever the Amolekim are bottled the elephant already, they mixed him with all the other nationalities, there's no more din of Amolik. So that's what the later past can say. That's wrong. The Rambam never said that. It can't be. The Chachamim had a tradition. That's going to be Lazi Lavistan. Obviously, there is still going to be a showdown yet. The Chachamim Amalek didn't take place yet. Who is Amalek? That's the question. Who is Amalek? So they say, B'Shem Rab Chaim, that he used to say that Amalek, his name Amalek would have only referred to that nationality, those who are biological descendants of Amalek, and the Sefer Achinuch would have been right. We don't know who they are. Rav Chaim claimed that he doesn't think that it's the same as Zaynum. Zaynum is only those who are Ben Achaben, descendants from the Zaynum. If you want to know who is a Jew, so you say whoever is Basah Habas, Habas. It all depends on the mother, it doesn't depend on the father. In order to determine whether he belongs to the Zaynum or not, the Imam says, Bom is Aloy Chachar Azochar. The Imam says, Imam, you have to be a Ben Achaben, Yichas, not a Basah Habas. So the Rav Chaim commented that to determine who Zaynum is, apparently that's a biological issue. You have to be a Ben Achaben. So that's what the Rambam writes for Rav Adichman. In order to determine who is Amalek, Amalek is not necessarily the biological descendants of the original Amalek. So he claimed any nation at any point in the history of the world who makes as its policy, who declares as its policy to wipe out the entire Jewish people, and they don't believe in God, as the Pasuk describes in Chumash Dvarim, atheists who want to wipe out the Jewish people, so they have the status of Amalek. So that was the whole discussion regarding the Nazis, whether they had a din of Amalek. You might not have to mean it, because if you didn't, you're not allowed to take anything from Amalek later on. So what about the German reparations money? So that was a big fuss years ago. Rav Soloveitchik held that it was forbidden to take. Many held that ethically it's immoral, it's unethical to take. because if you're going to give them a kapara, the Germans will feel as if they got an atonement. That's what they felt. They wanted an atonement from, but they got their atonement. They're killing all the Jews and all the Goyim. They killed more Goyim than they killed Jews. They killed the half of the world. So they felt that after the war, they paid up a little money, paid a couple of $1 million, and they ate again. But Rav Soloveitchik said, not for ethical reasons. He said, Afi Allah, he thought they had a din of Amalek, and you're not allowed to take anything from Amalek. Ma'aseh Medinas Yisrael, they built all the highways based on the German reparations money. They say that now all the highways are no good. The second world built Trump. They have to make the pavement, they have to make the cement all over again. All those highways based on the reparations money were all made wrong. Maybe Rav Soloveitchik was right. No, if he's Jewish, he's not Zayin Omer. In order to be one Zayin Omer, he first has to be a Goy. He's Jewish, he's not going to be Zayin Omer. The PLO, a lot of the PLO have as their policy to wipe out the entire Jewish nation, and they attack here. Some of them are atheists. Some of them are atheists. They worship Islam. The PLO worship Islam, but they only do it as a cultural thing. They don't do it for religious reasons. I think a lot of the PLO are atheists. That's a serious consideration. The PLO may have a din of Amalek. Probably will be Amalek. Anyway, time will show. Beginning of Pesachim, in the first Mishnah, it says, "For the Abbas, the Vortim Mesachom is the Yor Hamayim." What does it mean, "For the Abbas"? So the Gemara says it means the night before, the night of Yudalad Nisi. So why is it called "Or"? It's a Loshon Sadinor. It doesn't mean the night, the dark part of Yudalad, not the light part. So some Bali Atayis write on Chumash that you have this expression in the Chumash. It's based on the pasuk in Perik Yudalad. Pasuk Chav. The Pasuk says, Pasuk Yutes. Vayisa Malachu Elokim Hailech Mifnei Machne Yisrael Vayelech Mechrem Vayisa Amur Ha'onim Mifnei Vayamad Mechrem Vayobah Bei Machne Mitzah Medei Machne Yisrael Vahi Ha'onim V'Hachoyshech Vayoer Es Halayla Vayoer Es Halayla Vayoer. What do you mean? Vahi Ha'onim V'Hachoyshech Vayoer Es Halayla. It was dark and lit up the night. What do you mean the dark lit up the night? The words don't make any sense. But Rashi says no. There was an Amun Eish and an Amun Ha'anon. So the Choshev, Vayi Ha'anon V'Choshev, that's the Amun Ha'anon. Vayor Amun Ha'esh Es Ha'layla. Vayor Es Ha'layla means that the other thing lit up the night. The Amun Ha'esh lit up the light. And the Bali Ataisis HaChumish disagree with Rashi. He says, it doesn't say a word over here about the Amun Ha'esh. It's only talking about the Vayis Amun Ha'anon. Vayamun Mechon. It doesn't mention anything about Amun Eish. So they say, Vayaras Alayla is also a Lashon Sadinor, means Vayachshech Es Alayla. Doesn't mean Vayaras Alayla, not like Rashi says. Vayi Ha'aron V'Achoshech, Vayachshech Es Alayla. And but the Chumash writes, Vayaras Alayla, the same as the Mishnayis use that Lashon. The Mishnayis pattern their style of speaking after the Lashon of the Pasuk. These are the three Pesukim. Ayisa Malach Ha'alekim, Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk Chav, Pasuk Chav Aleph. Rashi and Sukkah points out that these three Pesukim consecutive, one after another, each Pasuk has 72 letters. So Rashi says if you take the first letter of the first Pasuk and the last letter of the second Pasuk and the first letter of the third Pasuk, that's a Shem Hashem. Take the second letter of the first Pasuk next to the last letter of the second Pasuk and the second letter of the third Pasuk, that's another Shem Hashem. You'll add up, you'll get 72 Shemes of Hashem, each one having three letters in it. That's what Rashi writes on the Mishnah. Ani b'hu hashi ano. What does it mean? Ani b'hu hashi ano. And Rashi says, Ani, Aleph Nun Yud, and b'hu, Vav Hei Vav, are two of the three Shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as emerging from these three Pesukim. I tell you, these are the three Pesukim. Ma'isa Malach Alekin, Vayavah Be'mach Nisa, Vayet Moshe Siyar, these three Pesukim. Pasuk says that after Bnei Yisrael said the Shira Sayam, so the women also said a Shira. Ratan Lohem Miriam. What does it mean, Ratan Lohem? Miriam Lohem, to the men. Miriam said a Shira after the men. What's the significance of this? Why Lohem? So they quote in the name of Rav Chaim, it's an interesting comment. I don't know exactly what this is based on. That to recite a Shira is an inyan of Dovish Bidusha, so you're going to need a minyan. The women cannot constitute a minyan. If you have Aniyah Vamira, here the Shira was recited, the Gemara says in Saito, that little parrot in Saito, the parrot in Saito only has two blood, the middle of Saito, I forgot the name of it. So the Gemara says there that the Shira Sayam was recited, Moshe Rabbeinu said a little bit, but Yisrael answered back, Moshe Rabbeinu said they answered back. So since it was recited in the form of Aniyah Vamira, that's like the Korazal Zevi Yama. The Malachim say a little bit, the other Malachim say. So that's apparently what led Rav Chaim to understand that the reciting of the Shira, the way it was recited, Aniyah Vamira, constituted the Dovish Bidusha. So as such, he really should have required Asara Anoshim. The women are not Mitztaref to a minion. So how can Miriam with the women say Shira? So that's what the Pasuk says. The men were standing around. Hey, Miriam recited Shira in the presence of the 10 men. You don't need that the one who's saying the Shira has to be a man. If a woman, let's say a woman wants to say Kaddish, is a woman permitted to say Kaddish? If you have 10 women, she can't say Kaddish. Kaddish is a Dovish Bidusha. You have to have 10 men. You have 10 men. But can a woman say the Kaddish? The woman is not one of the minions. So that's a big question. The Pesach Tshuva quotes from the Chavis Yair, says, Nikra Adin, a woman can recite daughter, can recite Kaddish when the father dies. But he says the minig is not so. He says, Devil Shalom the Shabbos on minig, you shouldn't have women say Kaddish. In other communities, they said the minig was like that. In recent years, they said in Europe, the minig in many communities was that when a man would die, he had no sons. So in some places, the women would recite Kaddish. But you have to have 10 men that they should say Kaddish. And the Chacham Sofer writes in a tshuva, it sounds like I'll begin, a woman cannot recite Kaddish, because in order to be able to recite Kaddish, you have to be one of the minyan, and a woman is not inside the minyan. So that's what they quote the name Rav Chaim, Atan Lahem Miriam, that Shira constitutes the Dovish Bidusha. So in order for the women to recite, they said a short Shira, one person. But in order to recite their Shira, they had to have 10 men paying attention. So that's Vatan Lahem Miriam. So even though Miriam and the women were doing the Amir of Amir, since there were 10 men present, it was permissible for them to recite the Dovish Bidusha. No, Sachirish.
Is there a problem with
Kolisha? Yeah, there should have been a problem with Kolisha. I don't know. I remember I asked that question many years ago when I was in. I have to ask, what did they answer? Rabbi Louis Bernstein's class. He was my Rebbe in high school. A good Rebbe. That we were studying Sefer Shoftim, and we were studying the Haftarah, Shiraz Dvaira. So we asked him, hey, what's with Kolisha? So I think he laughed and he said, what are you talking about? Kolisha was only instituted later. I don't know if it's correct. Kolisha was only instituted later. I got to ask him, Tasha, what do you think?
Shiraz song or a poem?
Poem. Perhaps they didn't sing. Perhaps they just declaimed it. That's Miris. They just said it, but that's it. Could be.
I think I want to somebody say a shot that's the reason why it's a drum. I want to drown out their voices just men when they hear it.
Some of the Torah Shlema must have something, right? Have to take a look. I saw a strange comment in the Sfarno, if I'm not mistaken, I think Achreinim discussed what he's talking about. He says, and they went to see if they're going to find any man on Shabbos in the morning. They didn't find, so he said if they would have plucked off the man from the ground, if there would have been man, they would have plucked it up, that would have constituted a malacha of Oike Dovah Migiduloi, as it's the Sfarno writes, as it says in the Gemara in Shabbos, that if you have his Midahigi, if you have thorns growing, something growing on another bush, that's also a malacha of Oike Dovah Migiduloi. Why exactly would this be Oike Dovah Migiduloi? This was Lechem and Hashemayim that fell down from the heaven and came on the ground. But this is not Mokhi Migiduloi. What did he pick on that one Gemara from all Masechah Shabbos? Of course, there's a Malach of Kaitzer. What did he pick? The Gemara has a Chiddush that not only is it Eike Dov Migiduloi if the thing grows from the ground, let's say I have a tree, And then they have a parasite, a parasitic vegetation that's growing on the tree. That's what the Gemara says. A woman has let's say a cow is pregnant. So the cow has chiyus, and the embryo inside the cow is a parasitic life. It doesn't have an independent life. So the Gemara says, if you kill the uber, that's like a dog migdul. Even though it doesn't have an independent life, it's living on the mother. And the Gemara says, if you have a tree or a vegetable that's growing from the ground, that has vegetative chiyus. Then you have another parasite, another parasitic vegetation that's living off of it, that also has, it's also considered chiyus, even though it's not an independent chiyus. That's the context of the Gemara Shabbos about Kuzayin saying. So what did this Farno Punk Pok quote that Gemara? What does that Gemara show more than any other Gemara? That there's a din of Eichadav Migdula by the Mon. But the Mon didn't grow on this earth at all. The Mon came and says, Rechem and Hashemayim. So what does that do with Eichadav Migdula? Could have said a different thing, that it's an Iser of Ma'amer. Maybe that's what it means. That's what it meant. Let's say the apples fall down from the tree and they're on the ground. And a guy has a farm and he has an Erev. There's no problem of carrying. So he takes a basket, a bushel, and he picks up all of the apples and he puts them in, let's say, the apples that fall on Shabbos and looks at. The apples that fell on Erev Shabbos. And they're sitting there on the ground. So he picks up the apples and he puts it in the basket and he eats and he brings it in the house. He wants to eat, having a big Shabbos. He's having 150 kids from the Pirche coming over for a big Shabbos. That's a why Shabbos. So he brings it. So the Gemara says that that's a melacha. It's not a melacha, like a dog in the Gedula. That's a melacha, ma'amir. When you gather together this stuff, we're not going to do this. And maybe that's what he's driving at. So what did he quote the Gemara of Kishus from the Hizmi, the Hiki? I don't know what I think the Achrayim do discuss that. I didn't have a chance for looking at. Magen Avraham records a minute that some communities they still have Arayim Hazeh. It's becoming more and more popular. That when you on a day on which you have a bris, so you recite the. You recite Oz Yashir half a pasuk at a time. So you murder the Shara, that the Gemara says that you're not permitted to recite Kof Sukkot Leifas Kmosh Anan Lai Paskina. How can you break into him? Meaning is that they start from the Choros and Ma'abris. The Choros and Ma'abris is the Baptist Milo. After the Shbuch made a priest in Greece with Avraham Avinu that he's giving the Eretz Yisrael on the condition that we will perform the mitzvah of Milo. So the minig is, when the Chazan gets to the Choros and Ma'abris, they start saying the Chazan says a half, and then the Sanik says a half, and the Chazan says a half a pasuk. And the Sanik says a half a pasuk all the way till the Yezer Vaz Yashir. It's becoming back in vogue these days. And the Magen Avraham has kindness against the meaning that you're not allowed to do that, break up a pasuk again. So I'm the Choros Mabris, he says maybe the Teretz is, that it's only called Psukkot Leipaske Moshe. This is not Mechumish. Maybe the whole prohibition only applies to Teretz Moshe, and outside of Chamisha from Shekeres Mutim. Then it says, Vayosha Hashem, Vayamahu, Naz Yashir. This is a Chumish. So he says, maybe here it's different because the Gemara says in Soto, in that little parak in Soto, that that's the way it was originally declared. That originally Moshe Rabbeinu said a half a pasuk, Mnei Yisrael answered a half a pasuk. It was recited by Amira Vaniya, like a Dovish tradition. So maybe because it was originally recited in such a fashion, maybe that's why it's permissible to recite a half a pasuk at a time. It's really a strange meaning, yeah. Could be. I don't know why that's a good answer. The Gemara says in Halal, the practice was that the Chazan would say a half a pasuk, and everybody would have in mind to be Yotzer based on Shemei Kainah, and then they would say the second half of the pasuk. So that's not in violation of Kol Psukot LePaskim or Shemana Paskim. It's considered based on Shemei Kainah as if you said the whole thing. I don't know. I think Lemaise, the way they do it is that there's a lot of overlap, like by Adam's Miris. A lot of shuls, the Kohol waits for the Chazan to finish his line, and then the Chazan waits for the call to finish their line. And in other shuls, no one waits for anybody. The Chazan already starts saying his line in the middle of when the call is saying their line, and the call says in the middle of the Chazan. So in a lot of shuls, I think the meaning is when they have a bris and they say, Oz Yashir, half by half, so there's so much overlap that it can't be based on Shemei Kainah. But if they would wait, if they would pause and listen to the Chazan, the Chazan would listen to the Tzibah, so it's considered that everybody said it all. Based on Shemei Kainah, that's the Gemara Sutta, that's right. Okay. Good. Shabbos, Professor Noam, got a letter.
The group but Rishonim say that you only say Zachen Liyadam, you don't say Zachen Meyadam. Why? Because you can substitute for Das Koinen. You can't substitute for Das Machna. Das Machna is a major lack of Das. If the Das Machna isn't there, it's a major lack of Das.